Make 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet, now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in free bonus bets with any sports book bet. Download that app today. Good morning. This is JW Norling, the W for Winger.
That's correct. Good morning, Kaplan. Are you just so thrilled that you know my middle name now? It changed your life materially?
Not really, but... Well,
Hoodie, how are you on a Friday?
I'm doing very well,
this
thank
guy,
you.
Oh, no, really? You were spending time. I was looking over your shoulder while you're Googling through, reading through papers I wrote in college.
It's weird, right?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. I know now. It's not a big deal. He was texting my wife asking what my middle name was.
I'm like a dog on a bone. When I get something, I got to figure it out. It's like putting a puzzle together. I won't go to bed till it's done.
Yeah, and that's usually how axe murderers roll. I want to thank, by the way, the people from Joy for Books for having me at two schools yesterday. I sent you some pictures, Cap. I don't know if you have that on your phone. From Murray Language Academy in Hyde Park and also Bronzeville Academy Charter in Bronzeville. Cap, it was great to be able to read to the kids yesterday.
Oh, wow. Look at that class. All attentive. Hoodie sitting there with a book. That's awesome.
It was really cool to be able to do that, to be able to read to the kids. The book I was reading was, Jay Moore, you should know Damon John, the business mogul, the guy from Shark Tank.
Fubu.
Started Fubu, yeah. Damon John has a kid's book out called Little Damon Learns to Earn. And so I read that to the kids in two different schools yesterday. Here's the story, though, Shay. Okay, so as you remember first grade or third grade, there's always the kid that is supposed to be on the rug listening to the story to be read, and there's a kid that's like, I'm not going to pay attention to the teacher. I'm not going to do anything. But there's a kid also that is very talented. I won't listen to you read, but I'm going to go to my desk and I'm going to do something else. I'm going to scribble. There's a kid that was not listening to me read, but made a nice picture for me while I was sitting there at Hyde Park Academy. It's a picture of a gargoyle, I guess.
Oh my God. How old is this kid?
Yeah. So first grade is what? 6 years old, Shay?
Oh my God.
Something like that, yeah.
6 years old? Yeah, and so the kid didn't want to listen to me read because he was doing his own thing. But I came into the school, Cap, and I go, hey, you know, I'm going to start reading. He goes, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to make you a picture. I'm going to draw for you. I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, you can take that home.
Dude.
Hold that up to Twitch if you want.
Okay, I could not. There is zero chance. Like, I got an F in Mr. Pause's
Is that Bowser
art class
from Mario?
Yeah, show that to Shay.
Like, yeah, it's Bowser. That's really good.
So the kid decides to draw for me. He wasn't going to listen to me read Little Damon Learns to Earn, but he's like, I got a picture for you before you leave. I'm like, okay. And he scribbles it out, and he goes, here you go. Please take this home. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you. So I wanted to bring that. That's our official picture for Captain J. Hood.
That is unbelievable.
So I read for...
I couldn't draw that if you gave me $1 billion.
I read for like 7 minutes. He put this together in 10.
What? So,
also, came to learn something else, too. Since this is a book about, you know, money and learning how to save money and all that stuff. So I asked, I said, who knows about money? And the kids raised their hands. And one kid said, I know about money. I've got my credit card right here. A first grader has a credit card? Cap.
That's stunning.
Cap. Credit card. And the teacher says, no, don't pull it out. No, don't do that. It's like, I know about money. My credit card. First graders have credit cards?
That's shocking.
What?
Wow. Just,
I learned a lot yesterday afternoon, Cap.
Remember my mom left a dollar in my locker on parent-teacher conference night? A dollar. And I was like, oh, man, this will last me all week.
These kids are telling me about investments and learning and cryptocurrency. They're so way more advanced than you and I were as kids.
Yes.
100%.
So thanks to Murray Language Academy and also Bronzeville Academy for having me to read in front of the kids. You see, I had a captive audience there.
Very cool.
As I was reading.
Proud of you. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Shot or no shot. Here's Shay Norling.
All right. ESPN pulled 12 of their NFL experts on who will win some of the most prestigious individual awards this NFL season. Half of the 12 selected Caleb Williams for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And not a huge surprise with Caleb being so highly touted and hotly anticipated, but it would be the first Bear to win Offensive Rookie of the Year since 2001. There are kind of two options on the Bears, by the way. Roma Dunze could also contend for this award. So I'm just going to ask this. Shot or no shot, a Chicago Bear will win Rookie of the Year in 2024.
That's a shot.
And Paulie in Palm Beach, take that, because he's all down on the Bears. They're not going to have a good record. Caleb Williams is coming in here way more advanced than any quarterback we've seen in this city. Yes, he's going to be the Rookie of the Year.
See, it's him. It's a Dunze. There's at least two choices for the Bears to be able to get that award. And so I would say that it is a shot. Again, I don't know what the one-loss record is. I would just say that, blessed with good health, why can't one or the other be productive to be in that stratosphere to be able to win that award? Why not?
Do you remember who won the Rookie of the Year in 2001?
Who was it?
The A-Train, Anthony Thomas. I did not remember him winning Offensive Rookie of the Year in the whole league. Did not remember that.
He gets forgotten about, but A-Train was very solid.
Yeah, very solid player.
Very solid player.
Went to the University of Michigan. He didn't stoop to Sparty. He was a Wolverine. Shay.
Shay there?
We're supposed to be having a good time. It's Friday. Aaron Schatz of ESPN.
Get into Michigan. Go ahead, Chuck.
Aaron Schatz of ESPN had an interesting concern for a roster hole on the Chicago Bears. When asked about some of the glaring roster holes on teams, Schatz, I thought, would have selected, you know, defensive end or defensive tackle or one of the more commonly refrained positions. He went with quarterback depth. Schatz said that while Caleb Williams is expected to be excellent, the drop-off to Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien is awful, and it will hurt the Bears if Caleb can't play for whatever reason. So, shot or no shot, the Bears need to fix their quarterback depth.
I would say that that's a shot, but I am not aligned with Aaron Schatz, who used to be like Pro Football, Football Outsiders, I think.
Yes.
Now he's at ESPN. Look, there are not a lot of good options out there. Ryan Tannehill is still out there. Now, he may be sitting at home going, I'm going to wait till somebody gets hurt, and then I'll go in and start.
Is this baseball? He needs a job?
Right.
You think he had a job by now?
You would think. But again, I'm sure he had calls about coming in as a backup. Maybe, I don't know, the man is saying, oh, I'll wait till somebody gets hurt, and I'll roll in there and be a starter, like Joe Flacco did. But if he would come in here and be a mentor, quality professional, I had no issues with it. But I think Bajan's better than Aaron Schatz is giving him credit for.
Man, you know, Cap, when you take a look at the entire landscape for football, 95% of the teams, when you got to go to your backup, it's just they're just not going to get it done. They're just a placeholder. Now, I'm not expecting the world, whoever the backup is. I mean, Bajan's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. I mean, you know, he is able to just harness an offense. He's not spectacular, but that's not, again, he's still a young quarterback. We just saw him kind of nickel and dime it, you know, and just kind of just flow at the offense when he get a chance, when he had a chance to start. Four starts last year, right? Four starts for him?
Four starts, 2-2 record.
Yeah. It's,
dude, I had people that I trust fine. Tell me he Luke Getsy wanted to stay with Bagent when Justin was ready to come back. Yes.
That's what fans said, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, it's a no shot for me only because I don't know who's out there that could be a significant upgrade. Like Caleb goes down, and again, God forbid, can we just get 17 weeks to evaluate a healthy Caleb Williams, for God's sakes?
I would hope.
I mean, but whatever it is out there, I think that it's a downgrade anyway, unless it's someone that is a superior starter that just happens to be in a backup role. And I don't think there's anyone out there like that. So that's a no shot.
Can I also just ask, because this always becomes a conversation about teams, like, oh, well, you should have a quality backup quarterback. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I think it's one of the most overrated conversations that happens in football. nine times out of ten, if your starting quarterback goes down, your season's over. Like, I don't care. It would always happen with Matthew Stafford. Oh, well, the Lions don't have a good backup, and if he gets hurt, they need one. I'm like, if he gets hurt, the season's over anyway. Who cares? If Caleb gets hurt this season, the season is over. I'm not under any illusion that Tyson Bagent or Brett Rypien are going to lead the Bears through a prolonged time without their quarterback and win a bunch of games.
Okay, but what about a really, really loaded good team? Loaded. And they don't have a quality backup, and their guy goes down. You're telling me they can't find a way?
But that's the question for me. Like,
the greatest show on turf, who's it, Trent Green? Trent Green went down, and they went, it's over. They're crying in the clubhouse.
As I just said, 95% of the teams out there, if you have a backup, then your team isn't going anywhere anyway. That's what I just said. 95% of those teams, unless it's just someone that kind of knows the offense that can be a placeholder, ultimately, you're not going anywhere.
Is there a team right now where you look at them and go, they're loaded if their QB goes down and they have the right backup, they could keep it moving?
San Francisco's done it with Purdy.
Yeah.
Baltimore, if Lamar went down.
Tyrod.
Cleveland did it because their offense was good enough. Baltimore, no. We've seen that too much where Lamar goes down and they were in first place when he got hurt and then they missed the playoffs.
Happened
two straight years.
Kansas City? He's so integral into what they do that I'm not sure there could be a backup that could pick up the baton because they don't have the greatest wide receiver room. Now they're going to lose Rashee Rice. They got some issues there.
Well, like even when Tom Brady tore his ACL with the Patriots and Matt Castle came in and had a decent season, but they were a 16-0 team that ended up 10-6 and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
The drop-off, like when you lose your starter and your starter's supposed to be that good or as good as we expect Caleb to be, your season's done. I always view the backup quarterback thing as a really overrated talking point.
All right, what's next?
Despite going 1-for-4 with an RBI last night, it is May 10th today, and the White Sox former third overall pick Andrew Vaughn is currently hitting 192 with zero home runs, a 46 OPS plus, and a negative 0.8 war this season. Over 1,700 career plate appearances. He's a career 250 hitter, subpar career OPS. This year, the wheels have totally come off. Time for you guys to be Steve Kornacki at the bust decision desk. Shot or no shot, Andrew Vaughn is a bust.
I would say no shot. He's not a bust. First of all, I'm not ready to write him off yet. That's A. B, Andrew Vaughn is a, right now, trending to be a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Bust is someone who I think gets knocked out of the league. Like Cade McNown was a first-round pick of the Bears. You go back and look. He wasn't in the league very long. Get out. Not a good dude. Doesn't work hard. That's a bust.
So I'll say no shot, but I think I would agree with you that it's probably more along the lines of someone that's just going to be hanging on teams. See, his lack of... Go ahead.
I just want to ask, isn't that a bust if you're the third overall pick in the draft?
It's the baseball draft.
Yeah, but you get the point. Like, if you take a quarterback number one and that quarterback ends up being a vet journeyman backup, that's a bust.
I would say that you're going to end up being right, Shay. However, what I was going to say is that when you take a look at, like, a healthy Moncada, a healthy Aloy, Luis Robert on the team, when you had a team, like, for instance, the La Russa White Sox team in the first year, you could hide any issues you had with Andrew Vaughn because there was a lineup that was strong around him. But when you're relied on to be one of the guys and the cornerstones of the franchise and you hit like this, I can understand why that you'd lean toward bust in that regard. Because your team's bad, yes. But Andrew Vaughn doesn't mean that he has to be bad. The ball club's bad. Doesn't mean that Andrew Vaughn has to play like this. So I can understand why that would be a conversation. No question. Because now, look at the team. Who's supposed to be stepping up? Robert when he's healthy, Aloy when he's healthy, and Andrew Vaughn. He's not getting the job done at all. So I can understand why that question comes up. I would say not this. I would say a no shot now, but for sure he's leaning in that direction. He's hitting, let's see, a 507 OPS. No homers this year.
Zero home runs, 507 OPS, 253 on base percentage.
Yeah, he's struggling right now, but that whole team is struggling. It becomes like a disease.
It's contagious, right? That's what they say?
Yep.
Just give me a base. Just hit the ball.
He had a ringing double in the first yesterday. drove in a run.
I don't need your condescension, Mayor.
It's not being condescending.
You're such a... Coming up.
I was being kind. He hit a ringing double off the right center field wall.
But it's such an a-hole thing to say.
This is eighth double of the year.
But it's such an a-hole thing to say.
Why?
It wasn't just a double. Hey, Hoodie, you know what? Maybe things are looking up. You got a double. He had a ringing double. Such an a-hole thing to say.
He did.
So just as condescending as can be. Just dripping in sarcasm.
Andrew Vaughn, really hard hit ball, came close to a home run yesterday. Is he turning the corner, 3-1-2?
Oh, my God.
First take, Shay. There you go.
Thank you, Shriffin. Coming up, around the NFL.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Did you hear the end of the White Sox game last night when it ended, the last out?
I was listening to Lennon DJ.
He changed his tune.
He did not use Southside Stand Up. Someone must have gotten to him.
No, I was listening to Lennon. I told you. I listen mostly to Lennon DJ.
Yeah, I listen to them a lot, but I had it on.
Yeah.
Brebbia gave up 2 home runs in the 8th to Ramirez and Josh Naylor. So it goes from 3-0 to 3-2.
Yeah.
They go to the 9th. Kopech blows him away. He got it the last out in the 8th, gets the 3 outs in the 9th, and they get the 3rd out. And Jay Moore will tell you, I'm waiting for it. I'm
like, wow, this sound the fireworks.
Sound the fireworks. For the legend Steve Stoll, let's go back to the studio. White Sox win. I'm like, Mindy, he didn't say Southside Stand Up.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside Stand Up.
Somebody got to him. There's no way he did that on his own. It was a good call. John's trying hard. It's not a shot at him. Jay Moore, you heard it. I mean, it was like, whoa.
I was thinking the same thing. I said, yeah, somebody got to him.
No question.
Wow. Why is it like a hit?
Wow.
I'm telling you, he got called to the principal's office, and Brooks, who's the boss, Brooks went, can we drop the Southside Stand Up, please? We're 9-28 or whatever they are. Now they've got 10 wins. Done. We're out.
For all the haters!
It's gone. He didn't say it.
Yeah, well. Now that I'm looking closely at Vaughn's stats, I don't know why I'm looking at this closely. I mean, he's closer to a bust than a guy at this point in time.
No, you can't, though. You already laid your groundwork out there. You gotta.
I said he's on his way. That's what I said. But now I'm just disgusted looking at all these numbers. I'm so mad at the White Sox. For all the haters, that's me. I'm not happy with the team.
Wow.
Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Around the NFL, right here on ESPN 1000 with Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, there are CBS Sports Roundtable of 3 of their experts that answered a few questions about the offseason as we review the NFL offseason with teams approaching rookie minicamp and clear pictures of the rosters. Hoodie, I love this time of year so much.
No, I know. It's. I wish CBS Sports would promote their own like we do because they always got interesting kind of offbeat football content, don't they?
The best.
Yeah.
We'll start with this. Which team made the best free agent signing? Of their 3 experts, 2 said it was Danielle Hunter being signed in Houston. Immediate improvement on their defense, gives a bookend to Will Anderson, makes them a legitimate contender in the AFC. The other I thought was odd. Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders added one of the best defensive tackles in the league in Christian Wilkins. They put that up as one of the best free agent signings. The Raiders stink.
Yeah, they do.
If you stink, I can't put you up there with the best free agent signings. I need to feel real impact. They have an incredible defensive line now. Max Crosby, we'll see what Tyree Wilson becomes. And now you add Christian Wilkins. But what's the rest of that roster?
Seems like a projection more so than what is. They feel like the Raiders in the future are going to be good. Everyone felt good about Pierce being the new head coach, and they feel like, along with that, the team's going
to
be better.
The players got him that job. Yeah, they went to the owner.
No question. I think that's more feels like more projection than what is with the Raiders.
Yeah, look, Christian Wilkins is a hell of a football player. They're paying him a fortune. Maybe he and Max Crosby together, maybe that becomes a much better team than we realize.
But we talked a lot about Danielle Hunter on the show when you were allowed to talk about the Bears. We talked about him being a guy that could be a difference maker for this defense. And so, you know, I can understand why that would be on the top of the list of quality guys that can make a difference for Houston.
You're done.
What'd I say wrong?
I'm always allowed to talk about them. I don't have to be over the moon about off season once the draft is done.
It's May. Nobody cares about this or this segment, even though it's highly rated. Go ahead, Shay.
Wow.
Which team made the worst free agent signing? This question's fun. It's got some tentacles in Chicago.
Okay. Oh.
We begin with the Atlanta Falcons, who needed to add weaponry for their new quarterback.
Justin wasn't a free agent. Go ahead.
Let him finish.
They needed to add weaponry for their new quarterback, Kirk Cousins. They paid Darnell Mooney $13 million a year. That's almost twice as much as Hollywood Brown got from the Kansas City Chiefs. This writer calls it spending just to spend, and I agreed in the moment. Darnell Mooney getting a $35 million contract?
Mm-hmm.
They were laundering money. Something went wrong in Atlanta, and they were using Darnell Mooney to wash it up.
Oh, they're cleaning their money through Darnell Mooney.
Good to be Darnell Mooney.
What's wrong with just the old car wash you do in the area of Detroit? That's how they do it.
That's it.
You wash your money through the car wash or cleaners.
That's it.
They use Darnell Mooney instead.
Yeah, we bought a couple of businesses.
Because at the time, we were feeling bad for Darnell Mooney. You remember this, Cap?
Yep.
Like, boy, Justin's overshooting him, and it's like he's not getting enough receptions. Boy, it's contract season. How's this guy going to get paid? Oh, Atlanta will pay him. You will?
$13 million a year, baby.
Huh. Jeez. Hey, by the way, it's Kirk Cousins, so he'll get his share of catches.
He will.
So I was worried. I thought Darnell Mooney's going to be outside looking for a dollar outside the Dunkin'.
Nope.
Seriously.
He's buying the Dunkin'.
You saw it, man. It didn't look good for him. He had to be worried, I think, going into free agency.
He got paid.
Shay?
The other was actually a Bears move that we haven't discussed really at length. I think we're all a little cautiously optimistic on. Kevin Byard made the list here as the worst free agent signing due to the struggles in Philadelphia after he got traded there last season. He was horrible. Troy Aikman was calling him out on primetime broadcasts. We've seen too much of you being flat-footed this season. He was out of position a lot. He wasn't making plays. I kind of can give benefit of the doubt because that secondary as a unit was so bad and they actively quit on the field. Maybe you get him into a spot that's a little better. And he'll play better. He's been good in his career, but he did make the list here of the worst free agent signings.
Mm. All right. Get it done, Kevin. Get her done.
Well, what do you think of that?
I think
is in this is defense. If there's any issues with him, it'll be covered up by a Stevenson or a Brisker or a Jalen Johnson.
Or Kyler Gordon or Terrell Smith. They got a bunch of dudes back there. So just flow to the ball, make the plays, man. That's it.
We'll put a circle around that, though. Byard the third.
And I like him. We did at the draft. He was one of our guests. Awesome. Really like the dude. Hope he plays well.
Terrell Smith, by the way, questionable here at camp.
Did he get hurt playing golf?
It says questionable on this depth chart.
That depth chart's from January.
No shot. This is up to date, according to Courtney. Shay?
Wow. Which trade will pay off the most? They cite Tennessee Titans adding Legarius Sneed to their defensive secondary. Mm-hmm. Two of the writers picked that one. The other wrote, quote, the Chicago Bears adding Keenan Allen is such a smart way to help ease Caleb Williams into the NFL. Mm-hmm. But the Houston Texans pick swap for Stephon Diggs should pay more immediate and substantial dividends.
Stephon Diggs or Keenan Allen? What do you think?
Which trade's better?
Yeah.
So we gave up a 4 for Allen. They gave up a pick swap, you said?
Yeah.
Yes, Stephon Diggs. It's the better deal. Stephon Diggs.
Allen has to show me he can stay healthy.
The answer to the question to me is Stephon Diggs.
Diggs did not have a very good finish to his year. He did not. Remember in the playoff game, he dropped that long pass right in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
That would have changed maybe the outcome. I'm going to go with the Keenan Allen deal.
He got really quiet in the second half of the season, too, Diggs. He was kind of out of the offense a little bit.
He was.
Allen wasn't targeting him much.
I'm going to stick with the Keenan Allen deal was a better deal.
Malin Diggs, just because it's a different address for him. We saw the disconnect happening with Allen and Diggs in Buffalo. I just think a fresh coat of paint's always good for a player. So it's like, okay, because imagine the Texans now. You think they were good last year. An inspired Diggs with a second-year quarterback in C.J. Stroud?
They could be good, man.
Yeah, I mean,
they could. I don't disagree, but I'm going to go Keenan Allen because I think with Adunze and D.J. Moore, Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, look out. He could have a big year.
Jesse Rogers with the latest in the Cubs, Sox, everything else, MLB. That's
any
coming up.
Sox news?
On Cap.
What happened? Ringing double from Andrew Vaughn last night.
A-hole. Cap and J-Hood.
He's not. He's a nice kid.
You! Ringing double!
And by the way, Caleb Day today.
Yeah. You had to read the paper 24 hours late to be able to get that news. And I'm going to bring this into the show today. Hey, I like football again. You're out. Cap and J-Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Bad teammate.